Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And one of the resources we want to put into your hands, of course, New Atheism, a Survival Guide by Graham Veal. It is available when you go to the web and order with your gift, equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We're going to be in studio for a couple of hours today answering your calls, but first I want to talk to the author of New Atheism, and even before I do that, I want to introduce something that I watched this morning. It took place last night on CNN. It was a special report, and it was titled, Is There a God? And as many of you know, there's always a narrative. There's an underlying stream of thought. In this case, it was that those who believe in God are narrow-minded, they're overbearing, they're aggressive, even hateful. And they're presently persecuting loving atheists and blindly believing in a God that they cannot see. The narrative is that this is irrational. But is it really? In reality, it is irrational for skeptics to suppose that what cannot be seen does not exist. Think about atheists. They are just like Christians in recognizing black holes, electrons, laws of logic, the force of gravity, despite the fact that all of this is unseen. Furthermore, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen. They've been clearly seen because they're understood through what has been made, and therefore, the apostle says, men are without excuse. Put that another way, in that the order and complexity of the universe testify to the existence of an uncaused first cause. Moreover, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and therefore the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the supreme act of God's self-revelation, and therefore we can experience the power, the presence of God in a way that is more fundamentally real than our perceptions of the physical world. When you hear people say that God does not exist, he's a fairy tale, we can't see him, therefore he can't be real, you need a survival guide. Once again, that is why this is our resource of the month, available for your gift. You can order online at equip.org. The author, Graham Veal, joins me now from Ireland. Hi, Graham.
Hi, Hank. It's great to be here this evening again to talk to you about these things.
You know, your book points out that the new atheists are reduced to circular arguments because they're selling a feeling, the assurance that unbelief is infinitely superior to theistic superstition. And that is precisely what was going on in this CNN special report last night.
I'm actually disturbed, to hear that. I didn't see the report. We don't have CNN on terrestrial television in Britain, but really the Richard Dawkins Foundation, if you follow them, are trying to push a narrative where atheists are encouraged to come out. Okay, come out as an atheist. When you come out, it'll be okay. You know, it's okay once you're out. And this is really the same marketing strategy or the same political strategy used by the gay rights movement, of course. And really what they're trying to say is it's really difficult to be an atheist in America. It's really, you'd be persecuted by religious types. You'll be ostracized. There are helplines now for atheists to phone because it's so difficult to be. And you're looking at this, and then you open the God delusion. And in there, Richard Dawkins pushes the idea that really, if you want to be successful in the academy, you can't be a religious person. You know, you can't be a religious scientist, because he actually says that religious scientists in the academy are looked on with sort of a mild curiosity at best. Now, he can't have it both ways. He can't say that the key to academic success is to abandon theism and that to be an atheist is a terrible thing in America where you're oppressed and you're squashed down. So he has, there's a real contradiction here. But this does seem to be the narrative. The narrative is persecution. We're being persecuted. We're being oppressed. We need helplines. We need support groups. And it would be disturbing that CNN would buy those sound bites. That's worrying to me.
They not only bought them, but they promoted them, and they did that in a robust fashion. Again, I think that's a reason why New Atheism, a Survival Guide, is so important. You talk about Richard Dawkins in the book, but Richard Dawkins spoke for himself on CNN. I want everybody to listen to this for just a moment and catch what he is saying when he talks about the world being an enormously better place if there was no God. The fact that he is open-minded, Christians are not, and that he hopes there will come a time in which people believe in things because there's evidence. I'll let Richard Dawkins speak for himself.
So would the world be a better place without God?
The world would be an enormously better place without God, without religion, yes. There are all sorts of things we don't know, but let's seek the truth. Let's be open-minded. The time should come, I hope it will come, when we don't even need the word atheist, because we shall live in a time, I hope, when people believe things because there's evidence. And there, since there's no evidence for fairies or leprechauns or gods, we shouldn't need the word atheism at all.
Graham, let's talk about that bit by bit. First of all, his assertion that the world would be an enormously better place if there were no God.
Well, okay, first of all, Richard Dawkins has said that he's an evidentialist, so where's his evidence? You know, where's his evidence for the fact that the world would be a better place for there being no God? You know, we can look at Stalinist Russia, we can look at China in the 20th century, you know, we can look at thousands of examples of secular wars which were not motivated by religion, of secular persecutions not motivated by religion. We can look at ethnic conflict, we can look at nationalism, we can look at all these irrational forces. Where does Richard Dawkins get the evidence that life would be better for there being no God, if there was no God? He doesn't have it. He simply doesn't have the evidence. And this is just propaganda. I mean, this is just propagandizing. And I just don't think that if the Archbishop of Canterbury were on CNN and made a statement like that, that he would be allowed to make a statement without some sort of criticism from the interviewer, without some sort of immediate interjection from the journalist saying, you can't seriously mean that. Yet for some reason, Richard Dawkins seems to be just allowed to say these things without critique. So that's absolute nonsense, the idea that that somehow ridding the world of the idea of God. I just don't see how an atheist can offer that. You know what I mean? I just don't see how an atheist who believes that we should follow the evidence can offer that statement, because he just doesn't have the evidence there. You know, where's his experimental proof? You know, how many times has he run history to see that? And this is the sort of thing that makes me quite angry about New Atheism. I don't think they have a single argument that cannot be reduced to the size of a tweet. You know, 140 characters, that's what their argument's reduced to. And we're talking about life, the universe, and everything. That's what we're talking about here. This is what they're offering, a philosophy which explains life, the universe, and everything. And they're saying they can do that in 140 characters, not 140 words, 140 letters plus punctuation. And that should make any rational person highly suspicious of Richard Dawkins and these sorts of statements.
Talking to Graham Veal, the book New Atheism Survival Guide, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. Another statement he makes, Graham, is that he is open-minded. He's contrasting his open-minded style with the closed-mindedness of those who believe in God. And yet it seems to me that if you're truly open-minded, you allow for both natural as well as supernatural explanations for what you encounter in the world in which you exist.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Richard Dawkins must be the most close-minded person that I've come across in writing. And not just, I have to say, on atheism. I mean, if you look at his debates with other evolutionists, actually Christians get quite gentle treatment, comparatively speaking, when it comes to things like his debates with people like Stephen Jay Gould. Richard Dawkins has this argument that God cannot be a good explanation because God must be more complex than the universe. And it's nonsensical. And it has been answered in print by atheists and theists. And one of the people who has written and answered this in an academic journal in print is a friend of mine, David Glass. He writes me in the Saints and Skeptics website. Richard Dawkins has replied precisely zero times to the critiques of the God delusion by philosophers and academics, saying that this central argument that Dawkins offers, this Boeing 747 gambit, fails. He just ignores it and repeats the argument over and over. I'm actually thinking of putting an article together called what I call the zombie arguments, where you get these films where you keep thinking the bad guy is dead at the end of the thriller, but he just keeps coming back and he's almost impossible to kill. This is one of these zombie arguments that Richard Dawkins just keeps repeating his central argument over and over as if it's never been refuted. And that's academically irresponsible. If you have advanced an argument and it has been responded to in print and in detail, as a senior academic, he has a responsibility to answer the charges. But he doesn't. He ignores them. And that is the definition of being closed-minded as an academic. I'm not even talking as an atheist. As an academic, he's closed-minded. He has shut his mind on this issue. He has said, nope, here's my reason for being an atheist. I'm sticking to it, no matter what. And again, young people listening to this need to realize that there is a tremendous amount of bluff and bluster and salesmanship going on here. It's Barnum, it's selling snake oil. And people need to be just, listening to that little clip, as you might imagine, it's made me a little bit irritated, because here's a man who's calling himself an academic and an educator, and he is doing precisely the opposite.
And this is what you found throughout the CNN special. I mean, you have this whole narrative about how good the world would be without God, and they appeal to Harvard's humanist chapel and chaplain. They have a Harvard humanist house. And they show how open-minded Harvard is because they're trying to take a neutral approach. And therefore, they allow the dogmatic assertions of the new atheists to stand as defensible arguments. We're going to be talking about that with Graham Veal when we come back from the break. What I really want to touch on in just a few moments, again, we're coming up against a hard break, is this statement by Richard Dawkins that we should live in a time of enlightenment, a time in which people believe in things because there's evidence. We're going to look at whether he is true to his own statement, because he happens to help himself to billions of worlds. He tells us what life is like on those worlds, and he does so without any evidence. All of that in the book New Atheism, A Survival Guide. It is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. Accessible on the web at equip.org or when you write me a course at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Later on in the broadcast, I will go to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And because we're doing an interview today, I'm going to be staying here longer, an extra hour once we go off the air, continuing to take your calls. So dial the number, 888-ASK-HANK. When we come back, more of Graham Veal as we talk about whether or not a belief in God is like a belief in fairies, leprechauns, or simply made-up gods like the gods of the Greeks and the Romans. All of that in just a few moments. So please don't touch that dial. I'll be right back with more of Graham Veal.
New atheists are surreptitiously stealing hard-won intellectual ground once defended by people of faith. Their dumbed-down but winsome ridicule slides effortlessly past the growing number of uncritical minds receptive to such nonsense. Graham Veal's book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is a very accessible, penetrating, and practical resource for responding to this new atheist nonsense. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, A Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, the new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them. Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Girls and women everywhere struggle with body image, and for some, this leads to body dysmorphic disorder, an obsession with perceived physical flaws. Young girls post "Am I pretty or ugly?" videos on YouTube, and adult women subject themselves to costly cosmetic procedures. But the Bible offers women a saner path to enhancing their beauty and sense of worth. Other topics include, why did God let that child die? Should Christians fear profanities? The spirituality of Schadenfreude, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical argumentation wouldn't earn him a passing grade in an undergraduate philosophy course. Yet, the dumbed-down ridicule he and other new atheists wield slides effortlessly past a growing number of college students receptive to such ridiculous rhetoric. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, offers an accessible, penetrating, and practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A couple more questions for Graham Veal, and then on to your questions, whatever is on your mind. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Before the break, we were talking about the father of the new atheists. His name is Richard Dawkins, and he was featured by CNN in a special report titled, Is There God? He was at the beginning, he was at the end, he was somewhere in between, but he is the go-to father of the new atheists, and this is what he had to say last night on CNN.
So would the world be a better place without God?
The world would be an enormously better place without God, without religion, yes. There are all sorts of things we don't know. But let's seek the truth. Let's be open-minded. The time should come, I hope it will come, when we don't even need the word atheist, because we shall live in a time, I hope, when people believe things because there's evidence. And there's, since there's no evidence for fairies or leprechauns or gods, we shouldn't need the word atheism at all.
It's kind of interesting as you listen to that clip. The music almost sounds chapel-like, and really the narrative that we have in the piece by CNN, and it was a full-hour piece, was a narrative in which you find atheists worshiping in chapels and churches, but they're worshiping without any God. They're showing that worship, just worship of life without any rules, is far better than having a God who tells us how we should live our life. And of course, as you just heard, Graham, he's pointing out that in his fondest dreams, there's going to be a time when people believe in things because there are evidences. And as I said before the break, he himself believes in things without evidence. You point that out in your book.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, Richard Dawkins, if you follow what he says about, you know, the explanation of why there's life on Earth, which, you know, really, if you look at Darwinian explanations, really what Charles Darwin set out to do was explain, well, why do we have human life here on Earth? You know, but really what Dawkins concedes within the God delusion is that there's three very improbable events. The first is the origin of life, and that's that the improbability there isn't getting a mechanism to form life, it's getting all the different molecules are formed in very different environments, so getting them all together is very improbable. And then getting complex cells, another incredibly improbable event. That would have taken one cell to swallow another cell unsuccessfully, and then to develop a new organism. Incredibly improbable. And then getting the sort of very complex creatures that can support consciousness. He sees that as very, very improbable. And Dawkins realizes you put those three improbabilities together, you really don't have an explanation for life on Earth. Darwinism doesn't cut it. So what's his solution? Well, there's billions and billions of life-bearing planets out there. Well, what is evidence for those life-bearing planets? Because that's a contentious issue. To get a planet capable of life, I mean, a resource I'd recommend, there's the Privileged Planet by the Discovery Institute, which covers this very well, and it's really not controversial. It was or at least it's scientifically mainstream. There's a lot of scientific mainstream guys out there who say to get a planet that can support complex life, you know, you need to have very, very specific conditions. And so the odds of getting one of these planets, billions and billions and billions and billions to one. So we just don't have evidence that there's billions and billions of planets out there. Dawkins doesn't deal with that issue at all. So where's his evidence for billions of planets? Presents none. And even if these planets are there, Dawkins has made a prediction. He says that really, you know, it's just sheer fluke that on Earth, you know, that we got over the gap of life and then complex life and then conscious beings. So three flukes. And the reason for that is because evolution has had billions and billions of goes on all these life-bearing planets, or planets capable of bearing life, which he has no evidence for. But that would predict that even if these planets are there, I would go and find that most of them will have no life, and then a small proportion will have a few simple cells, and then a smaller proportion again will have, you know, slightly more complex cells. And he gives me, you know, detail. There's a detailed prediction there of what we'd expect to find when we find all these life-bearing planets. We'll be able to tell us exactly what, you know, what proportions will be of what type of life on each. And there's no evidence for any of this. It follows precisely from his argument in the God delusion, and really his evidence just isn't there at all. If we went out and found a planet, the planet's teeming with complex life everywhere, we find lots of these life-bearing planets teeming with higher animals, his whole thesis falls apart. And it's just extraordinary that somebody who would present an argument that weak would then insist, well, you know, we're evidentialists, you know, we're atheists, believe in, only believe on the evidence, we only accept the evidence, we only accept rational argument, which, like I pointed out earlier, he has yet to respond to the criticisms of a central argument in the God delusion. He hasn't done that. He hasn't responded to the academic criticisms of his central argument, the Boeing 747 gambit. The man's extraordinary.
What's also very extraordinary is that there is evidence for God, as I pointed out at the beginning of the broadcast, and yet, in a rather ironic twist, he's pointing out that there's no evidence for fairies, there's no evidence for leprechauns, and likewise, there is no evidence for God. Talk about a confusion of categories.
That's extraordinary. I mean, if you're talking about fairies, ghosts, all these things, these are limited beings within the universe which explain very little. You know, all they're going to explain really is a sighting. If you're talking about a ghost, you're talking about a spatially located being. It's located within space, within time, all it can explain is a few sightings. There's very little explanatory work at all. When you're talking about God, you're not just talking about adding one more thing to the universe. You're not saying, well, you know, the universe has atoms, molecules, plus God. What you're talking about is the very nature of our universe. You're saying our universe is a creation, and this is how we should interpret it. And you're saying that, you know, God transcends space and time. You know, God is above that. God created that. He's the reason for that. He's not made up of lots of little components, like a giant computer, which is what Dawkins, believe it or not, compares him to in the God delusion. This is his central argument. He literally says God would be like a giant computer with lots of components, which that's beyond caricature to have that view of God. God would be above this. God would be above space and time. And that explains why we have this extraordinary order. Let's just look at that alone. Why is life possible at all when the universe could have been an infinite number of different ways, when we could have just had a vast sea of chaos? Why do we have order and structure and laws of nature which can be expressed in the language of mathematics, language which physicists call beautiful? Why do we have finely tuned constants which make planets and chemistry and all the things that make life wonderful possible? And why is it that we are so fortunate that if you look at what evolutionists say, you know, had to occur, why did we just get so lucky time and time and time again so that we're walking around living, conscious, embodied beings that can enjoy this world? That evidence alone, and that is an ocean of evidence there, that is an ocean of evidence, is explained if there is a personal, purposive creator outside this universe who created it and is responsible for it. There's an ocean of evidence. And really, Dawkins' only way of dodging it is the silly idea that God would somehow be composed of objects smaller than himself and therefore would be vastly complex. I spend a chapter of my book dealing with that, but really, it is such a ludicrous argument. It defies belief. But if the man wants evidence, there it is. Now, he can say, I disagree or I interpret it differently, but there's the evidence. There's the case for the prosecution. He has to respond to that. A defense barrister doesn't just say, well, that's just silly. That's like believing in leprechauns. He has to give me an argument and stop the name-calling, because at the minute all he has is a lot of name-calling.
Before I let you go, I want to touch on the importance of this issue. I mean, you see a special like this. It was a full hour, and CNN was really pushing the narrative that atheism is viable. And quite frankly, I thought it was so skewed towards trying to portray Christians as being a little silly, not particularly being clever or smart or erudite, but bigoted and hateful. And in fact, they really push that narrative in the broadcast. But when you think about the consequences of this issue, in the few moments we have left before the break, underscore the importance.
Let me just underscore one, and this one concerns me. Richard Dawkins' latest, his latest meme, is to argue that we should not be allowed to call children Christian. And what he's really arguing is that we should not be allowed to raise our children in our faith, because faith is irrational, and we should not be allowed to impose it on them. That's fascist. That's fascist. And at the minute, it's just an academic who's going on and giving me sound bites on CNN. The danger is that sooner or later, some politician is going to start taking this man seriously and is going to start saying things. And in the UK, we have, in Scotland, they're talking about having a state-sponsored guardian that will look at, you know, is supposed to take care of the security of your children. It's much more dangerous here. But what we're saying here is a man who is arguing that he knows the best way to raise my child. Now, that's fascist. And this is really, this needs to be looked at much, much, much more critically by the secular press. Because he is advancing ideas that if somebody takes seriously, we're going to have the state saying to parents, listen, you know, whatever your beliefs are, you've got to stop imposing them on children. You can't raise your children with your values. We know best. Richard Dawkins knows best. And then there's the spiritual side of this, which, of course, is so much deeper, where you have people crying out for justice and forgiveness and for meaning and all the things that they cry out for spiritually. And Dawkins is just completely neglecting that. And to pretend, the idea that you can somehow worship without acknowledging that there's a personal creator is just, again, ludicrous. So there's spiritual dangers. But when we look at some of his latest ideas, they really do make me worry.
And this is the reason we need the Survival Guide. Again, it's The New Atheism by Graham Veal. Graham, thanks for your contribution.
Thank you.
We are coming up to a hard break. We'll be back in just a few moments. You can get New Atheism Survival Guide on the web, equip.org. On the other side of the break, answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Christians today are exposed to relentless attacks on theism by so-called new atheists. Will a weakened Christianity survive the new atheist? Graham Veal's book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, will help you understand the new atheism and how best to respond to the threat it poses. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide as our thank you for your gift, Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Perhaps the most difficult and emotionally charged question ever asked the pastor or apologist is why God let a particular child suffer or die. The typical answer is we won't know until we get to heaven. Of course, we will certainly know more when we get to heaven, but is that all we can answer now? Other topics include female body image in a world of disordered mirrors. Should Christians fear profanities? Teaching apologetics to the next generation, celebrity death and the meaning of life, emotions and apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Well, far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. In The Atheist Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism and, just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches, or visit equip.org. Perhaps the most difficult and emotionally charged question ever asked the pastor or apologist is why God let a particular child suffer or die. The typical answer is we won't know until we get to heaven. Of course, we will certainly know more when we get to heaven, but is that all we can answer now? Find out in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And a quick heads up, we're going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. So if you are hanging on, we will get to you. If you're dialing in, you can dial for now in the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. We were talking in the first two segments of the broadcast today about Graham Veal's book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide. It is available for your gift, and I think it is a very, very significant resource. Graham Veal is a high school teacher, a very, very able communicator. But I point out the high school teacher, happens to be in Ireland, because This is the kind of thing that your students need so badly, because they are going to be riddled by dogmatic assertions. We saw it on CNN last night, one dogmatic assertion after another. No defensible argument, but the dogmatic assertions won the day because people don't think critically anymore. And so your students need to be armed. That's why it's called a survival guide. So if you're a parent, make them available to your kids. If you're a teacher, to your students. If you're a pastor, to your congregants, available again for your gift on the web at equip.org. Let's go right to the phone calls and talk to Dan. He's in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Dan. Hello, Dan. Okay, I guess Dan's not... Hi, you there?
Hi. To talk to you, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to ask what seems to me an elementary question. How come a reputable TV station is asking only one guest, presenting one very biased opinion, not to mention... the abomination about the world being much more beautiful without God, which, you know, contravenes any elementary common sense knowledge how society evolved after religion has been taken out of schools.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point that you're making. I think that this is a classic example of brainwashing. I mean, if you present all of the evidence on one side of the ledger and repress all of the evidence on the other side of the ledger, that by definition is not education, it is brainwashing. How easy it would have been for someone to come on the broadcast and say, look, if in fact there is no God, then how do you explain the universe? I mean, at the end of the day, as all enlightened people know, there are only a few possibilities extant for the existence of the universe in which we live. One is that it's an illusion. I don't think many people in the West buy into that rubbish. Even a full-blown solipsist looks both ways before he or she crosses the street. The second is that the universe sprang from nothing. Well, we know nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. The third is that the universe eternally existed. By the way, I don't know of any scientist who has any weight in the free world, in the world in general, who would say such a thing, that the universe eternally existed. That was an idea that existed before good science came on the scene. So, either the universe is an illusion, sprang from nothing, eternally existed, all three implausible, or there is a fourth possibility. There's not 100 other possibilities. There's a fourth possibility. In the beginning, God. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself, and certainly that is true with respect to the universe. You did not hear something as simple as that on CNN last night, and I can only think that it is because they are pushing a narrative. Lord knows they couldn't be ignorant of these things. Let's go to the phone lines. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, Sue, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I've got a couple little subjects here real quick for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was a gentleman yesterday, I believe your first caller, and he was talking about, he said that the Lord made evil. Okay, well, if you read in the King James Version, chapter 16, verse 4, it says, the Lord had made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, that's what the King James Version says. That's one of mine. My other is on false teachers and false leaders. And I believe Rick Warren's one, Joyce Myers, Billy Graham, Benny Hinn, Pat Boone, Tim LaHaye, Rick Warren, John Hagee, and there's a bunch out there. That's my other one. The third one is the number one problem plaguing the church, and that is a cursed gospel, which is Galatians 1. It says the Judaizers is the number one problem plaguing the weak and apostate Christian church. If a man or woman buys this lie, he will be sucked into believing every lie. This is even the leaveneth that spoileth the whole. The Judaizer lies is the very lie, abomination, that the Antichrist, the son of perdition, will someday soon declare from the pulpit of the rebuilt unholy last days temples of the Jews in Jerusalem.
You know what I find quite ironic about this is that you have lumped a lot of people together in sort of the same mix, and I think that is patently unfair. But even beyond that, what you've done is you yourself are kind of mixing up the biblical text. And I think one of the things that underscores is how necessary it is to become adept at the art and science of biblical interpretation. As far as Proverbs 16:4 is concerned, yes, you have a principle here. God is sovereign over all things. He even displays his power through wicked men and evil. And eventually all evil is going to be judged. The basic idea being that God puts everything to use, including the wicked deeds of rebellious people. That's how efficient, that's how sovereign he is. He makes all things actually in the end work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. The fundamental principle of redemptive history is that God blesses faith and he judges rebellion. That is the will of God. And thus, if people want to behave wickedly, they have to do so, but God will use their wickedness for his glory and for his purposes along the way to their judgment. The other thing that I want to point out is you start out with Isaiah. Isaiah 45 is a classic example of an antithetical parallelism, as I said yesterday, where God is saying, I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light, I create the darkness. I make peace, I create evil. That does not make God the author of evil, of course. Light is contrasted with darkness, peace with its opposite, which is variously rendered in the King James, evil, in other translations, calamity or disaster, which ultimately is judgment in response to sin, the same principle that I was pointing out before. So I think it's important to learn the art and science of biblical interpretation and not to speculate on what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes. Remember, John said, already many Antichrists have come. So it's not as though the Antichrist is going to come. Antichrists have come. Any institution, any individual that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is, in fact, Antichrist. I'm looking at the clock, and I dare not take another call in this hour because I simply don't have enough time. I am going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air. We will be continuing to take your calls. So here's what you can do. If you're hanging on, be patient. I will get to your question in just a few moments. If you're dialing in, the number to dial in the U.S. or Canada to get your question answered in the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK translates numerically to 888-275-4265. Again, be taking those calls in just a few moments. You can start calling right now, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. As we close out the show, a reminder that as we were talking about today, New Atheism, a Survival Guide, could not be more timely. It was written by a high school teacher. It is poignant. It is short. It is pithy. It is understandable. But it is, after all, a survival guide because the new atheism is on the march. And it is garnering all kinds of support. It has become a religion. It is the religion of the nuns. I don't mean the N-U-N-S. I mean, it is the religion of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. And there are many ways in which this religion is being proffered. It is humanism. It is skepticism. It is something that goes under the rubric of free thinking. But the moniker that ultimately is being pushed on people is be secular, don't be spiritual. And this is robbing people of the greatest joy that they could have. There is no greater joy than communing with the living God. New Atheism, a Survival Guide, available for your gift. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also order via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 in the letter CRI. And you can turbocharge this ministry by transitioning from occasional giving to monthly giving. When you do, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Check it out on the web, equip.org. Again, to be staying right here for the next hour, answering your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Followers of the Lord Jesus in our time are exposed to relentless attacks on theism by so-called new atheists. Graham Veald's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, will help you understand the new atheism and how best to respond to the threat it poses. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Of course, you can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, A Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, the New Atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them. Veal goes on to show that the New Atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering New Atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.